Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, sit down and hold on, folks. There is so much going on today. I don't know how I'm going to get through it all and still talk to some of you. In fact, we're just going to have to get at it. Welcome. It's Political Coffee. Great to have you with us as we begin a really important week in this nation's history on this Monday. So is the Kraken, is it military intelligence? What does that have to do with the on-again, off-again federal judge orders to not allow the Georgia Dominion voting machines to be wiped clean? Like was scheduled to happen. Oh, isn't that just convenience? Could there be some forensic evidence there? And what about the revelation yesterday on Maria Bartiromo's show that the president, as he was talking with her, said he is considering appointing a special prosecutor. Now, whether he is in office or not, friends, he ought to do this. That stunning Politico report. Or was it political? I'm trying to remember which one it was. Anyway, it was the stunning news that something like almost 40% of Biden voters, if they had known about Hunter Biden's laptop and having to give half of their income to pop the corruption of Joe Biden, they wouldn't have voted for him. Is that good reason to... And quite serious, is that good reason to appoint a special prosecutor? I think it is. Now, whether Trump is reelected or not, folks, we know he was. Now we just have to prove the fraud. Speaking of fraud, speaking of it, how about this report in The Right Scoop? It's a former FBI special agent finds a massive number of absentee votes from non-residents in Georgia. And guess who one of those non-residents happens to be? Well, it happens to be a lady in Portland. No kidding. And in fact, he has this woman, and I guess she is a nurse. He has her name, her actual address, and her voter record and absentee file. Now, he has her name and her address in both Peachtree, Georgia, and Portland, Oregon, redacted. But it's on this story. He knows a lot about her. She's a nurse at a downtown Portland hospital. She has a boyfriend. She teaches fitness classes at a local fitness center. She posts pictures of herself all over Portland on social media. She's been in Portland 4 years. But she doesn't live in Georgia. However, a ballot went to her old address in Georgia. And she has family who live at that old address in Georgia. They received their absentee ballots at the same time, at the same address. But somehow Jane Doe, as he calls her, this FBI agent, former FBI agent, somehow Jane managed to return her mail-in ballot to the county's office on the same day as her two family members, even though she was in Portland, Oregon, 2,600 miles away. This FBI agent writes, this is one example out of 57,793 people that he found that cast votes illegally in Georgia. Because many of them lived outside of the counties they were registered in. And by Georgia law, you have to reside in that county, just like you do in Oregon. But also many of them out of state. How interesting. Is it any wonder that this federal judge, who, you know, we all cheered, right? Saturday night when the federal judge said, okay, in Georgia, you can't wipe any of those Dominion servers clean. And then had to reverse himself because he said they were owned not by the state, but by the counties. Now, Lynn Wood, the attorney that is so well known for winning these defamation cases, he's been on this. He's working with Sidney Powell. We'll get back to Kraken in a moment. She's the one who talked about that, right? We're going to get back to that in a moment because Lynn Wood said that he couldn't, that no, these machines are owned by the state of Georgia, not by the local counties. So again, last night, the judge reversed himself again. And this time, he is saying for 10 days, you cannot touch those servers. Now, there's another story that's been floating around out there about how this Department of Justice jet left a Virginia airport and flew to Toronto, where it was for 3 days. And then it went back to that airport, and then it flew down to Atlanta, Georgia, where it was for just a few hours, and then it flew home. Is this the FBI? Who's in Toronto? Dominion Voting Systems. It's interesting, isn't it? Oh, and there's more. There's so much more. Jeffrey Lord is saying, by the way, that the president should appoint a special prosecutor to investigate ElectionGate. This is his article in the American Spectator. If you don't know who Jeffrey Lord is, he was in the Reagan administration. He has been a regular fixture fighting it with the liberals on CNN. It was for a while until finally he'd had his fill of it. It's a man who knows what he's talking about. He's no lightweight. I think Trump should appoint a special prosecutor. Whether this thing, whether he ends up being president again or not, that special prosecutor needs to happen. There's another story that I do want to get to that is more Oregon-centered, and it is this story, by the way. It is the unspoken racism of journalism. In this case, it's the Willamette Week. And it is, the headline is, Black Portlanders are killed crossing the street at least three times the rate of white pedestrian. Now, why would that be? Well, they sort of allude to it, but they're afraid to say it outright. And it's a black reporter writing the story, too. It's racism. All of that. Your phone calls today, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Or you can shoot me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. Like Corby did early this morning. He said, do most people realize that we're witnessing an overthrow of the United States? The American people are being held hostage. I think it's far more satanic and corrupt than it is admitted. It's happening right under most people's noses. Thankfully, President Trump and others are fighting with us. And then he included a couple of links from InfoWars. Now, that's Alex Jones. But one of them is why I'm asking the question. Is the Kraken actually a military intelligence group, the 305th. And did they participate in the seizing of these servers in Germany? Now, what's interesting is that General McInerney, it doesn't matter where this is reported, okay? General McInerney is still tied in. This is something you have to understand, friends, is that just because you were in the military and you leave the military doesn't mean you still don't know people there and still don't have sources there, okay? Because you will, because you know people. They'll be loyal to you and you'll be loyal to them. He said in this interview that Special Operations Forces seized that facility and they have the servers. McInerney, and I'm quoting from this story in InfoWars, McInerney added that the raid did not go without incident, unquoted, and stated that U.S. soldiers faced casualties during the operations. He's quoted as saying, my initial report is that U.S. soldiers were killed in that operation. Now, that was a CIA operation. So that's a very worrisome thing. Did that occur because of what Mary and I and Alan were notifying on Sunday and that the Monday in different networks that this was going to happen? That they were using hammer and scorecard? So apparently Sidney Powell... I mean, that, first of all, that's a really sad thing that special operators would get killed in this operation. So it means that these servers were defended by the CIA. This is a coup. It's what Corby's email is about. The coup continues. That's what General Flynn has said. Now, the tie-in here is that General Flynn was head of Defense Intelligence Agency, military intelligence. And then he became NSA director. Who's his lawyer? Sidney Powell. Maybe she knows a little bit more about what's going on here. In this interview with General McInerney, Brandon House, who's the interviewer, said, but you are saying that it was a CIA facility and that that was where the server was taken from by these special forces, was a CIA facility in Germany, ? McInerney responded saying, yes, that's correct, Frankfurt, Germany. He continues, I'm quoting from the story, to explain how various elements of the U.S. government, such as the deep state, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary, are involved in this coup d'etat.
Life is good, wild and sweet.
The deep state. So apparently, there are deep staters still in Donald Trump's executive. Lots to think about. There's even more. We'll get to it all on the other side of this break. 503-589-1220 is the Kraken military intelligence.
Back come on and sing my song all night long.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us on a Monday. This is an exciting week. It's an important week, as today there will be testimony in the Arizona legislature. And the testimony will feature Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis as part of the president's legal team. Now, the fallout from the testimony in the Pennsylvania legislature was profound. And it wasn't good for Biden. And it wasn't good for the court. Because even though the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, as was expected, reversed the two judges' suspension of certification in Pennsylvania, that was a Pennsylvania thing. It wasn't a federal court thing. Even though that happened, what was established on the record, again, this is what, there's two aims for this that the Trump campaign is trying to do, and you need to make sure you understand this. Because people's heads are just spinning now with all of this stuff going on. But the first purpose is to give the Pennsylvania legislature, the Arizona legislature, the Georgia legislature, the Michigan legislature, the Wisconsin legislature, all run by Republicans, to give them the courage to stand up and say, something's really wrong here. We're not gonna choose your electors, Democrat Party. We're gonna choose our own electors. Now, I can tell you, as a former legislator, that's a really high, high bar to reach. The pressures on them would be incredible and enormous. That's why we need to pray for them. That's the first purpose of that hearing in Pennsylvania last week and the hearing that's going to happen in Arizona today, and it'll happen about 8 o'clock our time. That's the first purpose. Now, the second purpose. The second purpose is the court, the Supreme Court. Because even though you are limited in what you're going to argue in front of the Supreme Court, it's different than what you argue in an appeals court, from what I understand. When you file an appeal, you have to argue things that were introduced in the original trial or court filing. Now, in this case, because there never were any real, I mean, there were arguments in front of both the district judges and then the appeals court in Pennsylvania. They never got to really introduce the evidence, irrespective of what the judges said in that appeals court ruling. When you get to the higher court, the Supreme Court, it's not that these judges live in a bubble, folks. They watch the news. They read things. And I can guarantee you, with the president signaling and saying so many times that this was going to end up in the Supreme Court, that's exactly where it's going to end up. And they've made petition to the court. These jurists, the Supreme Court members, they're watching. You can bet they're watching. And they're being influenced by this in their thinking. Now, they will judge that, I believe. All these things that they're hearing and seeing, they're going to judge it based on the Constitution and the practical meaning of the law, like they did the other day in rejecting Andrew Cuomo's religious gatherings limitations. It was the right call. Now, that gave me a lot of hope that the Supreme Court is, in fact, going to look at the things going on in Pennsylvania and consider all the arguments, including the arguments that Pennsylvania got back more mail-in ballots than they sent out, like 700,000 more, which ought to be a real red flag in addition to everything else. But again, ultimately, the court is going to care more about what the Supreme Court precedents. That was what was established in Bush versus Gore in 2000. The violation of the Equal Protection Clause. I think that is the ultimate argument, again, that we'll win the day. Now, what Sidney Powell is doing is also going to help in these legislative hearings. Because here's why. If she really is working with the 305th Intelligence Group, which is the Kraken. Apparently, that's the name for this intelligence group, the Kraken. if she's working with them, both current and former members. Now, I don't know that current members would be, but you have to understand is that she is licensed. Apparently, this was revealed last week. She is licensed to practice law in military court. Now, that's led to a lot of, I think, unfounded speculation that Trump would suspend things and go to military tribunals. I don't see that happening, not in a million years. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it happens. At any rate, she's tied into the military, folks, especially with working with General Flynn. General Flynn still has friends in the military, in military intelligence. Just think this through. Somebody got these servers, and apparently, according to General McInerney, who again would know this from his friends still in the military, that it was a bloody thing, that U.S. soldiers were killed in this thing. It means probably some CIA people were killed too. The CIA and the deep state, and in fact, as we went to break, I said this, if in fact the deep state, if Trump still has people in his executive branch agencies that are working against him, certainly in Congress, but in the judiciary, they're all involved in this coup d'etat. That's why what Sidney Powell is doing in Georgia is so important, folks. Because if they can, they already know if they have these servers. Now again, Sidney Powell said she didn't know if the good guys or the bad guys had. I can't. Has to be deep.
We are young.
More on that. Back 30.
The crack.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We're back. It's 24 minutes before the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, I'm asking the question, is the Kraken, is it military intelligence? According to General McInerney, it is, and that they were involved in seizing these servers and U.S. soldiers were killed. Seizing these servers from a CIA facility. So that means the CIA was working against Trump. Is that any new news for us? Not really. It's also interesting to note, in fact, I just saw this gal a few minutes ago on Newsmax. And one of the Republican poll watchers in Pennsylvania that testified all of a sudden had some Department of Justice investigators show up at her door unannounced, wanting to talk to her. And then we hear stories about the FBI getting involved. Do you trust any of that? I don't. See, the DOJ, the CIA, the NSA, none of them were involved in this operation in Germany. Where military intelligence and the special operators went into a CIA facility and apparently had a shootout, but apparently they won and they seized all these servers. Now, if that evidence comes out, and I hope it does, assuming that it's real, if that evidence comes out, and it comes out soon, these Republican legislatures in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia in Arizona would have every excuse and confidence that, in fact, they should choose different electors than how their state voted for Joe Biden, because the election will have been shown to be fraudulent. Now, this is something different than Trump going in front of the Supreme Court, folks, which needs to happen. There's no question about it. From my perspective, the prosecutor and that needs to be a special prosecutor needs to be appointed by the president. But not only for Joe Biden's corruption, but for everything that's happened here in this election, Dominion voting, Smartmatic. You see, a special prosecutor will be able to do all those things in terms of really looking to see who owns Smartmatic and who really owns Dominion voting systems. And was there Chinese money involved? And why is it? Apparently, a bunch of these ballots got printed in China. What? Yeah. What, we can't print our own ballots in America? Apparently not. At least not in some places. How did that happen? Who got that contract? Now, I said all along, if you heard me last week, I was talking about how that Sidney Powell had to be arm's length from Rudy Giuliani because the governor of Georgia, she was accusing the governor of Georgia of being corrupt. And that Trump was going to have to work with the governor of Georgia. Well, Trump laid into him this weekend. So that love affair is over with. Trump, as you know, is going to be in Georgia on Saturday night. This is what he needs to be doing. He needs to be holding rallies now. And it should be more than just Saturday night. In my opinion, it needs to be in every one of these battleground states. Trump needs to go there. Because that, again, will give the state legislatures confidence that they're doing the right thing. Because they're going to be under unbelievable pressure not to do the right thing. Believe me, they will be. So we have a little bit of time. They can't wipe the evidence clean, at least in these Georgia servers. Now, who knows about these other ones? But there was a video, by the way, if you go to the Liberty Daily, you will see these videos. And I watched them last night, how they captured actual videos of mostly CNN, but a couple of other places, of Trump on the night of the election, Trump literally losing votes. How does that happen? Well, you know how it happens. And it can't be explained away as a mathematical error. Really? In all these different states, it happened over and over again? Trump losing votes? No, you don't excuse that away. That's evidence. And you can watch the actual videos. That's why this federal judge, once again, Judge Tim Batten Sr., who Saturday said you can't touch these machines, and then Saturday night reversed himself, said you could, and then Sunday said no, you gotta leave them alone again. So, friends, you got governors. Remember, Brian Kemp used to be the Secretary of State of Georgia. He has some experience, as this article points out, in wiping clean servers, because apparently that when he was Secretary of State, there was a controversy in their state, and miraculously, a main server just got wiped clean. Sort of sounds like all those investigators in the Mueller team, right? 27 phones just got wiped clean. I'm sorry, it just happened. Sorry, it was a mistake. Yeah, right. Friends, the next 2 weeks are going to be an incredible wild ride, right up until the time that the electors have to meet in the college, in the Electoral College, which is the 14th of December. I expect that the real evidence that is needed is going to come out. And I hope that it is so profound that the Supreme Court cannot ignore it. I've given up on Justice Roberts. In fact, he's just been ripped up one side and down the other, as he should be, for his complicity in some of the dumbest rulings, at least, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know, but I'm just reading and what other people are saying. It's just stunning. Just stunning. I hope that it is so strong and so powerful that there is no way the Supreme Court can overlook it. Neither can the state legislatures. Because remember, some of these states have certified already. That's why the legislatures have to get involved. I believe that if this is true, that military intelligence has these servers, they would be working with Sidney Powell and General Flynn to get this information out there. Now, the story about the FBI agent in Georgia finding 57,000 people, 57,793 people who voted in Georgia illegally because they had changes of address and they got their ballots in a different county than where they lived, or they lived out of state. In fact, 17,514 of them lived out of state, somehow still managed to vote. This example of the nurse in Portland is just one of them. Now, this is a retired FBI agent. How much of that needs to get out there? How about this? The videos, if you've seen this over the weekend, of these Soros-funded groups that were bribing Native Americans to vote in Georgia, in Wisconsin, in Nevada, in Arizona. And in fact, it's so brazen, they literally have these videos, these posts, the Nevada Native Vote Project. McDermott, and here's the pictures from their tweet, folks. McDermott and Owyhee voters dropping off their ballots and picking up their gas cards. They bribed them. That's illegal. It's illegal under federal law. It's illegal under Nevada law. Solid evidence. Yet for some reason, federal judges just can't seem to think that that's evidence. Stunning, isn't it? Now, I want to say something. I need to get to this. By the way, today's the last day for you to buy some great CBD products that can make your life better, like this pain stick that I've been using. I just cannot say enough good things about it. I buy it from ProBioscience. It's made by them. They're right here in Salem. They use only Oregon-grown CBD, which is the highest quality there is, because Oregon, believe me, has the highest standards there are when it comes to growing CBD. If you go online and purchase today, you get a 15% discount if you use the word Thanksgiving as your discount code. Pro-Bioscience.com. Pro-Bioscience.com. When we come back, protesters targeted the home of the Oregon OSHA inspector who fined Courthouse Athletics here in Salem $90,000. In a moment.
That's not poverty. Hating believers have light on their faces as they
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. You know, this is probably a subject for another story, another day, I guess. What happens if Trump just refuses to leave the White House because of all of this foreign interference in the election? I mean, at some point, you know, if the Supreme Court rules against him, what are his options? Well, his options are the state legislatures. That's what it is. And I'm convinced that that's so much of what's going on here. Now, before we went to the break, I teased you with this story because I think it's an interesting way of pushing back against the bureaucracy and Kate Brown. And it's about protesters targeting the home of a state employee, an Oregon OSHA inspector, who just happened to be the guy to write the $90,000 fine to John Miller at Courthouse Athletics. Because they chose to stay open, defy Kate. Now, more about that in a moment, but I want to remind you that Eric Azer is a contractor you can absolutely trust. And don't believe me, check out his website, righteousrenovations.com. Just read the great testimonials of very satisfied customers. righteousrenovations.com. Bathroom remodels, some great pictures of that. Kitchen remodels. Yeah, righteousrenovations.com. You can trust them to do a great job for you. righteousrenovations.com. So the story by Jeff Manning in the Oregonian says about 50 right-wing protesters converged on the Silverton home of a state workplace safety regulator on Sunday to protest a large fine levied against the Salem gym owner. Now, immediately, they go to the Silverton chief of police, who identified the protesters as members and affiliates of Patriot Prayer, the conservative group founded by Joey Gibson. I saw Channel 12 interview him, and then the chief says there were no problems, no issues. They stayed on the sidewalks, and they stayed off private property. Well, that's what we do on our side. You see, it isn't the Proud Boys. It isn't Patriot Prayer or anybody else that are attacking cops or attacking or burning buildings or writing graffiti or tearing down statues. That's Black Lives Matter. You know that communist Marxist organization? And Antifa, a terrorist group, which is what it ought to be designated by the president. That's who those folks are. It's not our folks. Now, so this is something different. Protesters targeting the home of state employees who are just doing their job, right? Well, maybe not. You see, the one thing I've learned about inspectors, and maybe some of you that are listening to my voice now are inspectors, you know you have always some discretion. Now, I can guarantee you that he probably didn't have a lot of discretion here. He probably got word from Kate Brown, you know, filtered down through the bureaucracy, and said, you hit John Miller and Courthouse Athletics as hard as you can. So he probably had no choice. But by the very fact that you've protested the home of one of these state employees, who's admittedly in a difficult position, but is in a place of carrying out Kate Brown's edicts, the fact that that's well known now, because believe me, it will be rippling through state employee circles like you wouldn't believe, takes things to a different level. It gets, my opinion, it will cause some pause of state employees. to think about a little bit more carefully about what they're doing, because nobody likes protesters outside your home. It disrupts your life. It disrupts your neighbors. Your neighbors don't like it. You don't like it. And believe me, I can tell you psychologically, it has an impact on you. Should we do more of this? We can talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Is this the right thing to do to state employees who have such discretion to make business people's lives or your life miserable? There's another story that I'm probably not going to get to today because I've waxed lengthy in my comments here about the deep state and the Kraken being military intelligence. And maybe I'll get to it tomorrow. It's the story in Willamette Week. Black Portlanders are killed crossing the street at three times the rate of white pedestrians. The pedestrian death rate is the subheadline. Rate per 100,000 was three times higher east of 82nd Avenue than it was west of 82nd. What's the significance there? Well, that's where a lot more minority community people live. In Portland, East Portland. Now, the gal who wrote this is a black, Letitia Jensen. What's racist about this to me is what she's not saying. She dances around. And here's what it is. That every one of these black people hit and killed by cars, we're doing so at night. And they're blaming it on not having enough lighting. Now, the racist part of this is twofold. The unspoken part of it is that these are people who are dark-complected, black, at a nighttime. If you're not wearing bright clothing, you're just asking for it because you can't be seen. That's the first thing. But the second thing is that the unspoken thing that she is saying here is that because of systemic racism, and those words are used in the article, because of systemic racism, there aren't enough lights. And lighting needs to be increased. It's a systemic problem, the article says, faced by under-resourced neighborhoods and residents. Under-resourced? Systemic problem? The next thing they will do, the next natural direction for this to go, is to accuse Portland, long run by liberals, of engaging in systemic racism against black Portlanders because they won't put up lights. A state employee who shall not be named writes this, Biden's Kraken foot. If the reports about the Kraken and server raid are true, I hope that they are, then Biden and the rest of the coup plotters are buying adult diapers by the case. Biden didn't break his foot playing with his dog. He broke his foot kicking his dog. Thank you. Thanks for listening, folks. Boy, you got to keep praying for Oregon. And you got to keep praying for the president of this nation. Stacey has the best.